On today's episode, you're not unlovable, you're just from Florida. The mystery of the disappearing family. And LB likes to watch. Wholesome holiday hits. All that and more on today's episode of Bad Advice with Lori Beth Denberg.
Lori Beth is in session, and we're reading from the scriptures of vital information. Talking about God as my Savior, my LBT. Just tell me what's going on with me. Oh, my God as my Savior, my LBT. Just tell me what's going on with me.
My name is Lori Beth Denberg, and welcome to the Bad Advice Podcast.
Woo!
With me, as always, is Clark Crozer.
Hello!
Hello, Clark.
How are you?
I'm fucking exhausted.
I'm sure you are.
And we will get into why in a moment. But I will say that, you know, we are always recording a little after events.
Yeah. We tended to record some of our episodes a little earlier than we put them out, you know.
Yes.
We try and stay current. We always want to stay current and topical.
And make the questions fit, the time frame. But in real life, I've just gotten back from my Thanksgiving vacation.
Yeah.
So it's been a while since you've had Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So I'm going to bring it all back. Clark, how was your Thanksgiving?
My Thanksgiving was really good. You know, a little boring, but I kind of like it boring.
Yes.
I don't like to do a lot of stuff. My family likes going to a restaurant, so there's no cooking, there's no cleaning.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we just go to a restaurant, eat, pay, and go home.
Was it Subway turkey sandwiches?
No, it was actually a fairly nice Italian place that we like going to in the abandoned mall by us.
Perfect.
But, you know, it wasn't that great. We've gone there a couple of years, and this year, food was a little cold. Didn't give us a lot of it. Usually, it's one of those places where, you know, it's a set menu, so they just keep bringing out food and bringing out food. And I don't know, it just didn't feel as good this year.
I think COVID hit a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I've been to a few places where it's like, they used to give you more food.
Yeah.
And it's like, we used to not have 18 months where no one could come out of their house.
Exactly.
Well, I am exhausted, as you know, because I went out of town, almost as far out of town as possible, still staying American.
Yeah, it's true.
I went to go visit a good friend of mine, and her family invited me for Thanksgiving.
Nice.
So I went to Vermont.
Ooh,
and then we all went up to Boston to stay at an Airbnb and just do Thanksgiving there because it was kind of special.
So an East Coast Thanksgiving.
It was an East Coast Thanksgiving.
How cool.
But it was just so much fun. I have to say, if you're going to go to Vermont, stay at Matt's house.
Oh, okay. That's a good recommendation.
I will not give you his last name or even the town he lives in.
Yeah, right.
Because I don't want anyone else sleeping at my fucking place. This dude had never met me, and it's a friend of my friend who invited me and opened his home to me, which was gorgeous. And of course, everything on the East Coast has like history. They're like, it was built in 1705.
Right.
He's like, this used to be a post office.
What? His house?
Yeah.
No.
And like the closest thing you get to that here is like a real estate company that clearly set up in an old IHOP.
Yeah, exactly.
So they still have like the pointy
roof.
Building.
Yeah, exactly.
But so that's the one thing. You know, if you find a house built in 1920 here, you're like, oh my God.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
So out there, it's just, you know, old creaky stairs and history, history, history. So, but he was the most gracious, wonderful host.
Oh, that's great.
Really fun. And I
didn't even know you.
He didn't know me, and it's been COVID. He's like, I haven't let anyone in my house. So I think it helps if you want to go stay with someone you've never met in their wonderful house and have them be a wonderful host to you.
Sure.
You should be a 90s icon from children's television.
Oh, that's good advice. That
so
is very excellent
advice. If you haven't
advice.
Done that, that's the route to take. Because I was like, yeah, I can't imagine him being like, sure, this stranger can come into my private space where I have everything like appointed beautifully.
Right.
And I'll make them. He was such a great cook. He still is. He's not dead.
Okay, good.
But just made meals and was so wonderful.
Nice.
But I was like, yeah, I guess it helps to like have quote unquote known me since he was 8.
Right. If you're a regular listener out there, you probably won't be able to get in. But if you're Jonathan Taylor Thomas,
yes,
it's all yours. Just head on over.
JT squared, make your way. So I did, you know, I did nothing in Vermont a lot of the time. It was great. And it was, and it snowed. We've talked on this show about how snow is magical because we don't experience it and we haven't. And, so there was snow and it was gorgeous and it was quiet and there was just like time to do nothing.
This is so funny because this is the same friend that came over and spent time with you a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
And you guys were doing the exact opposite here in LA. It was just like nonstop. Things.
Yes, we did all the Los Angeles everything. Yeah, the California stuff.
Lots to do.
Exactly. So this time we did not, and she came and picked me up every day.
Wow.
And we went to Montpelier and we went to different restaurants and we visited her friends and their kids, and it was really, really nice.
Did you ever meet Bernie?
I did not meet Bernie.
Oh, damn.
But he's ever present. Actually, my friend has a tattoo of him. Actually,
you're kidding?
Yeah.
Really?
It's tasteful and fun.
Oh, man. That's awesome.
Yeah. So some highlights. We did speak on this show about the Snowflake Museum, Snowflake Bentley.
How was that?
We did go there. It was really cool. It was just this alcove in the Jericho Historical Society.
Oh, it didn't warrant its own building?
No, it did. No, but it was really cool.
That's awesome.
I'll show you the pictures. And it's just awesome.
Question.
Yes.
What is the size, roughly, of the biggest picture of a snowflake in the Snowflake Museum? Is there like one that's really big?
No, there's not like one that's like they turned into a chandelier.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
No, they're all quite small.
Oh, okay.
Because this is back in the day. It's not like he had Photoshop.
Right, right.
You know,
it's black. Are the photos are black and white?
Yeah, they're black and white, and they are just, a lot of them are very small and kind of cut out of a picture, like the round is
so
cut
there was a
out.
Bigger picture, and they just
but
cut
I assume
out
that it's
snowflake.
All just black, and then the snowflake. So he cut around those, and they're all mounted, and so that was really cool.
That's awesome.
That was my only request, and we got to do it.
Yeah, we talked about it before you left.
And then we went to Boston for Thanksgiving.
Oh, nice!
It was very interesting being there. You know. With being in someone else's family dynamic.
Yeah, especially for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, my friend is the only one I'd ever met.
Wow.
I met everyone else there.
Okay.
And I make myself at home.
Sure.
And, you know,
you're a cheerful enough person that most people just instantly kind of like you and
exactly.
are nice to you.
I make it really hard to be a dick to me.
Yeah, 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 yeah. That's
so
true.
It's like, it was very interesting because, of course, my thing is to like go in and fix things. And I'm like, how much conflict resolution should I facilitate here? But it just, you know, kind of sat back and, you know, let things play out. My friend, Caroline is her name. She basically cooked everything for Thanksgiving dinner single-handedly. Oh. And it was amazing.
Wow.
And then I got to do other stuff like, you know, I have some other friends that live in Massachusetts. Mm. So one day, the day after Thanksgiving, I went on my own to visit them. And I took, this is such an LA thing.
Oh, no.
I feel like such a yuck saying this, but like living in LA, I am terrified of public transportation.
Oh.
And not like, oh, undesirables.
Right,
are there.
Right.
Nothing like that. I'm as undesirable as it gets. But just like, there's no way I'm going to get on the right one. There's no way I'm going to make it. There's no way. I'm just terrified. And I did ask about 10 people for help.
Okay.
Along the way. And everyone gave me like 1/5 of the information I needed.
Hey,
so
man.
I eventually got to the building that I was supposed to be in.
Okay.
I got there at 10 o'clock, started my journey.
Yeah.
And then the train was supposed to take off at 10:35. Mm. So I finally get to where this last gentleman took me to the lovely lady in the booth who sold me a ticket.
Okay.
But then she did not instruct me on anything.
Oh, no.
So then I just kind of like go, oh, okay, well, it says three on my thing. And so I just look and there's a three and I walk in and I get on this train.
Oh, no.
And I am sitting there. There is nobody. Nobody on this train. And I'm sitting there for a good 15, 20 minutes.
Oh, no.
Just
and
sitting
nobody's
there.
Nobody's getting on the train?
Zero people, zero employees. Oh, and the whole time I'm texting my friend that I'm going to see, I don't know if I'm on the right train. Either I am or this is a ghost train.
What?
And the entire train died 40 years ago. And eventually this woman comes in and she's an employee and she kind of looks at me with like, she didn't say, what the fuck are you doing
right.
here? But her eyes kind of did. Right. Like, are you confused or a vagrant? Right. You only have two choices.
Right.
And I go like, is this the train to Rockport? And she's like, no.
Oh, no.
And so then I'm like, okay. So she explains to me how things work. I'm just going to tell this story.
Yeah.
I'll try to button it up. So then she explains to me, no, the next one's at 11:30. And at 11:25, they put up on the big board what track it's going to be on.
Okay.
That's the part I had no idea about.
Gotcha.
So then I go and I'm waiting for 11:25. Now, meanwhile, I've been with this whole family all day. I've been with people for a week. So it was really nice to just have some time to put in my earbuds,
right.
watch Big Mouth on my picture-in-picture and
right.
play Candy Crush.
Right, get a little
And I'm
salty.
Just like so happy. And my friend that I'm going to see is like, I'm so sorry. I should have picked you up. And I'm like, I am having the loveliest time.
Nice.
So at 11:25, they start announcing things. But I have my earbuds in. I think I hear the train that I'm looking for. A bunch of people start walking.
Oh, no.
So I just go with them.
Oh, no.
And then I ask this family that's like right on the threshold
yeah.
of like the station to the tracks.
Yeah,
and I
yeah,
go,
yeah.
do you know if this goes to Rockport? And they go, oh, he would know, like another guy there. And so he comes out with me and he's like, no, your train's not till 12:05. You got a half an hour. So it was like,
no.
but again, I'm having the loveliest time.
All right.
I just feel like this was like half a dozen near-death experiences right. where I almost ended up in Canada.
Right. But it's that cartoon where it's the guy that's walking and yeah, the safe is dropping
yep,
behind him
yep.
and all this stuff. But he's having a pleasant time
yes.
reading his book.
I was having a very nice time. My friend is losing his shit. Like,
yeah.
oh my God, I'm so, he keeps saying, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, I'm except for the fact that it was eating into my time with him.
Right, right.
That was the only thing.
Right.
But I had left plenty of time and he's not that great. But so finally, 10 minutes before the train, I get on the train. It's the right train. Now the only thing left is for me to miss the stop.
Right, the exit.
But I like full on like got the schedule up on my
nice.
Phone. And as we went past one stop, I'm like, okay, that's the next one. This
you're,
the next one.
You're pulling out a knife and carving
exactly.
it into the wall. One stop
Hashtags.
Done.
No, hash marks.
Hash marks, yeah.
Hash mark.
Hashtag hash marks.
Exactly. And so I made it off the train. So then it did take 2 full hours for me to get on a train and go where
oh
I was going.
God.
But again, those were like lovely
yeah,
hours.
Nice, calm, peaceful hours.
But it's so, I mean, that's so Los Angeles of
yeah,
me.
I know.
And then every time I do go on public transport, I mean, these 2 hours notwithstanding,
right.
I'm always like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Yeah.
You get to go everywhere for 7 cents.
Oh, I love subways.
It's amazing.
Subways are the fucking
yeah.
best, man. If there's a subway in a city that I'm visiting, I am using that subway system.
I am
system.
On that subway system.
Yeah, I love subways.
So the last, I'll say this and I'll move on. I know
yeah.
I've been talking for a while, but so I had a great time. Went back to Vermont after Boston on my last morning.
Yeah.
I went with this new chickie that I met.
Okay.
Part of the family.
Sure.
And she took me to the Cat Cafe.
Cat Cafe?
She took me, I posted some pictures of it. And just this little gray kitten crawled up my body, like laid down on my shoulder, purred and played.
Oh my God.
I didn't even, you got like a half an hour for your ticket.
Oh my God.
I didn't even pet any other cats because this cat named Sprite just like
loved you.
Chose my shoulder And that was it.
Oh, that's and awesome.
And it was so snuggly and wonderful. It was just like, and it's like snowing out. It was just, it
do
was
they
really
have
gorgeous.
Cafes in LA?
I bet they do.
They probably do. My wife is so deadly allergic to cats. Like,
really?
If she's in a house that has a cat, you can she immediately knows as soon as she walks in, her face starts puffing. Like it is, she is majorly allergic. So I can't ever see a cat. The thought of going in and seeing a cat in a cafe sounds so amazing.
It was. Well, the cool thing is they get the cats in from shelters and then people right. adopt them out.
Yeah, yeah.
Or they adopt them out to people.
The people that want them.
The people, the cats adopt the people.
Oh, right.
Who rescued who, Clark? Anyway, I think I've been talking for about 20 minutes and I'm worried now that my lack of train knowledge isn't that entertaining. But it's just so, I mean, it's this myopic view of LA. That I'm terrified of public transportation. Aww. So, but I did it.
You did. And I'm proud of you. That was good. Now I think what we should do is answer a couple questions.
Oh, okay.
Let's answer a couple questions.
Is that why we're here?
That's why we're here. So we'll,
are they about trains? I have a lot of advice.
I don't think there's much train advice needed in this this episode, but we'll keep that in mind for the next episode. We're going to start off today with somebody named Jen.
Jen.
And Jen says, I need some advice, which is why she wrote us. My girlfriend is having a birthday shindig soon at some restaurant bar with a buttload of her friends. Obviously, I feel obligated to be there, but the problem is that I'm very shy and introverted and hate parties. I barely know any of her friends and I'm dreading having to go. I would rather drill screws into my toes than go to a big party where I barely know anybody. I've invited some of my friends to come, so I'll feel a little bit more comfortable, but they're all busy that day. Any advice? Thanks. Jen from Riverside.
Oh, Jen. I feel you.
Right?
I feel you. I've said many times on this show, I'd rather throw a party than go to a party.
That's right. That's right.
So you could take that route and say, well, let me just take care of things at the restaurant. Let me make sure, you know, the balloons are tied to the table.
Sure.
Let me make sure they know if, you know, if there's a cake coming out.
What an awesome reason to get there early, too, right? You get there early. You get to leave a little early.
You get up, before your girlfriend's like, have fun, girlfriend. She's like, I haven't blown out the candle. Well, why don't you wish for me to like your friends more? but it's really tricky. And the worst thing anyone can ever say to you is just be yourself.
Because
it's like, you know, just that's just the worst advice. Like, myself is nervous to be here.
Yeah, exactly.
Myself is shy. So what the fuck do you want from me? Myself wants to punch you in the face for telling me to be myself. But an interesting way to think about it is, I mean, I don't know how, if you're shy and kind of introverted, I don't know how well you know any of your girlfriend's friends already.
Right. Yeah, I don't think she knows much.
So that would be pretty interesting to find out. Well, you could also do a little sleuthing, you know, find out more about your girlfriend, who I'm assuming you like and or love.
Yeah.
And ask for some other stories.
Yeah.
From other friends.
About your girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
How did you two meet?
Right.
Oh, really? Unearthing some stuff? Maybe something blows up your relationship. Maybe you get a little blackmail information.
Yeah, there you go.
So there is that.
I would also like to throw out there, in doing so, I love that idea of talking to friends and specifically pulling out info about the common friend. But I would say try and stick to small groups, like one-on-one, more than three or four on one, right?
Well,
you don't
want
to be in a big group of people if you don't like groups of people.
But she said it's at a restaurant.
Yeah.
So that's the deal. You're not going to, you can only sit near so many people at a restaurant.
Sure.
So you have that opportunity to just ask someone next to you.
Right.
You know, what's the deal? And part of that is what's really interesting is like, yes, you're shy, you're kind of afraid and uncomfortable. But if you ask a question of someone else, it's on them.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think that the odds of them saying, it's none of your fucking business, and turning back to someone else they already know are slim.
Yeah, probably.
They're probably slim to none. But that is tough, but I like that it's at a restaurant.
Yeah, that helps.
I mean, assuming they're sitting around and it's not like cocktails and hors d'oeuvres right. and an open-ended circle around the room.
Right.
If I get somewhere, if I get anywhere, all I want is to sit down.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is my goal in life.
Absolutely.
But, you know, there are going to be all these people there that, you know, love your girlfriend,
yeah.
that have stories about her,
yeah.
that could illuminate things about her that you don't know yet. So I would take that opportunity,
mm-hmm.
Just because it's kind of fun, and take a deep breath.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just ask the questions,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then it might not work quite well enough, but it's like, because, you know, Clark, we've said before, it's like, all I want at a gathering is an activity.
Right.
Give me something to focus on.
Yes.
So you always do have that fallback of like, this is the best salmon I've ever had.
Right.
You know, or
maybe she should do a little research beforehand. Learn everything she can about the restaurant.
Yeah.
So that she could just start naming off. Did you know this restaurant was first built in 1947?
It was taken over by some Italian family. They changed the menu from Irish to Mexican.
I'm telling you, everyone's going to love you if you're that guy.
Yeah. But the other thing is, and this is what's interesting to me, is when somebody, like, and I was afraid and shy, which nobody would believe now, but, you know, with that feeling, it's like, what are you afraid of? And it's like, what do you think the other people are expecting from you?
Right.
That you're not going to live up to? I would just focus on that you're there with your girlfriend.
Yeah.
It's her birthday. The
yeah.
people are there to celebrate her. And that's your place in it.
Yeah.
You know, and to not have... to try, I know it's easy. Don't worry about it. Just be yourself.
Mm.
But like, I don't think that there are these expectations, like,
right.
unless this is just a table of mean girls.
Right. Or a table know. Of like Harvard professors.
I was
that
just
wanna...
going to say physicists.
Yeah, exactly.
And the chemical reaction in my Pellegrino is, you know, so, and it's, you know, and hey, I mean, I wouldn't do this just because of my personal circumstances, but if it's your deal, have a few drinks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have a few drinks. And if that's not your deal, please don't. Don't write me back next week and go, I was 12 years sober, but I finally one person takes my advice and
yeah,
it ruins
exactly.
their life.
Oy, oy, oy. Hopefully that'll help.
I hope. Have fun.
Yeah, it'll be a party. So enjoy the party.
This is Jess Betancourt, the host of DNA ID, the only true crime podcast that exclusively covers cases solved using forensic genealogy. DNA ID goes behind the headlines to answer your questions about this remarkable new crime-solving tool, how it works, how cases are selected, why the cases were unsolved for so long, and how the justice system is addressing it. I include input from law enforcement to give you the inside scoop that we all crave with a straightforward, no-nonsense delivery. You can find DNA ID on any podcast platform. Episodes come out weekly on Mondays.
Next question we have is from James.
James.
And James says, Dear Lori Beth, this is very proper.
Very formal.
Yeah, right. Dear Lori Beth, this is a bit long-winded, so I apologize in advance. It's really not.
Okay.
My cousin Christina and I had, until recently, been very close, so close that she used to refer to me as her brother. Over the last year and a half, Christina, her sister, and their father have completely ghosted my wife and I on three major life events. My wife and I eloped in 2020 in lieu of having a large wedding because of, you know, COVID, and they didn't show up even though Christina's husband was supposed to be a groomsman. Fast forward to 2021, my wife and I are planning our actual wedding, and we can't get in touch with them, and it was the same for our baby shower. I am obviously extremely upset about this. What should I do? Should I just let it go and get back in touch with them? Or should I just continue to not speak to them until they decide to get in touch and apologize? This entire situation has made me feel like I never really mattered to many of them, and I personally would never treat a family member like that. Thank you in advance, James.
Wow.
Yeah.
James, that sucks on many levels.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I do want to be clear, though. He said they eloped.
Yeah.
Which really means you run away by yourselves.
Yeah, the elope one.
So that's a little weird. Unless it was like, I mean, he maybe says eloped in the way that it's like, we're just going to do it. Come with us, family. That's kind of what it sounds like.
Yeah, you get 10, 15 people.
It's not often that you get like stood up at the altar by a groomsman. The bride and groom are fine, but they're like, there's no ring bearer. We can't go on.
Right.
But so, yeah, this sounds very strange and weird.
Yeah.
And what I would say most of all is, you know, you say you've reached out to them and they have, you know, I don't know if that's been a, hey, give me a call back or whatever.
Right.
But what I would do is send a detailed, not what the fuck is your problem.
Yeah.
Send a detailed account of what's going on and how it's making you feel. Because if they never want to talk to you again, at least you'll put this out.
Yeah.
And if it's an email, I mean, weirdest case scenario, they all had to go into the witness protection program. So that, I mean, that could be like a load off your mind.
Right,
maybe they're all just like the Smiths from Indiana. But barring that very, very slim chance,
right,
you just got to reach out and say what you have to say from your side. And to really just put out there, you know, is there something I've done that's caused this? Because I'm really surprised at this. You know, I had a, you know, wedding and a baby shower and all of this stuff. So it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And to put that out there fully is what I think will make the difference between A, getting a response.
Right.
Or if not getting a response, you feeling like you've done all you can.
Right.
And just saying, here's what it is. And I would even say, you know, if there's email, if there's, you know, you could write a real live letter and put a stamp on
it. Sure.
And if it comes back, you'll know that they are in the witness protection program. But that's really hard. And I wonder, you know, your wife, she sounds lovely. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know anything about any of these people. She's like, we only killed two of their dogs and now they're not calling us back.
How dare they?
That's unreasonable. They had three. We left them one. But yeah, it's important for you to put out the whole vibe.
Yeah.
And not just say, you know, are you never going to call me back?
Right.
Or not just say, hey, what's up? Like fishing for just a, you know, a response.
Yeah.
Because at this point, after the wedding and a baby shower and more, it's a bigger issue than, oh, they're busy, they can't get back to
me.
Right. And if you get an answer, and you need more advice, let us know.
Yeah, let us know.
Give us a call back.
We'll help you through that section,
but
too.
For as it stands, now in my beautiful sentence structure, put down your side of things and how you're feeling and ask what's going on.
Try not to be accusatory. Try not to be sound too angry.
Yeah.
It'd be better if you sounded hurt instead of angry.
Sound really hurt. And put that out there and just then it's on them.
Yeah.
You still have to deal with the feelings and all of that. The awfulness, the pit of the stomach that I can tell this is causing you.
Right.
But there will be nothing left for you to do.
Yeah.
So that's my advice.
That's good advice. All right, James, hopefully that helps. And like LB said, if you do send them that letter and they write you back, write us. Let us know. Tell us how it goes. We'll help you through that step too.
Hi, this is Christina. My cousin killed two of my dogs, and now he's wondering why I don't want to kiss him. Hello.
Well, hopefully that'll help. Let's move on. I'm very excited. Going to do one of our favorite rotating segments of the week. This is everyone's favorite, I think. It is top 10 and a half.
And now,
ladies and gentlemen,
LB and Clark's
top 10 and a half.
Okay, so we are going to try to get through this quickly, but it's not going to happen. So we are just going to go for this.
We'll try our best.
Clark and I did for this one tell each. We like to surprise each other with our lists.
Yeah.
But for this one, it was like, we're definitely going to have some of the same.
Yeah, we repeated each other for about half of our list.
So we know what's coming, but we don't have each other's, you know, explanations yet.
Yeah, exactly.
So like, can you defend?
Do you want to start or do you want me to start?
I will start with the very first thing I wrote down quickly, which you also had, was a movie called The Ref.
Yay!
It stars Dennis Leary and Judy Davis.
Yes.
Oh, and
the wonderful Chatsworth High alumni who went to our same high school as us. The amazingly talented Mr. Kevin Spacey.
Well, I mean, in all fairness, Clark, I know we can say all of that. And remember when I said we were going to keep this brief?
Yeah, I know.
He is very talented. He's a great actor. Yeah. He's not a good person. And so I don't know why I'm like defending him.
I don't know either.
Because he's great in this movie.
He is. Yeah, this movie is
Glynis John is in it. Christine Baranski. It is a great, great movie where you are absolutely in love with the quote unquote bad guy.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just really, really great. And he plays a hoodlum?
Dennis Leary.
Yeah, Dennis Leary plays a thief.
A thief.
Like a robber your house kind of guy.
Yeah, who just robbed someplace.
He just robbed someplace and everyone's looking for him. The cops are looking for him. So he kind of takes this family hostage and it's like, oh, fuck, this family is obnoxious in so many ways. Yeah. Anyway, it's a great movie. Watch The Ref.
Oh, it's so good. All right, my first one that I'm going to go for is a more modern movie, but there's just something to it and it's Elf. I love Will Ferrell. I love Bob Newhart.
Yes.
There's so many great actors in this movie. But there's also something I really do. As I'm getting older, I feel like I am loving movies where the character is just inherently happy.
Yeah.
Where he's just a happy guy and things happen to him and he tries to figure out a way to do it. And there's just something to that that I really, really love. And Ed Asner will forever be Santa Claus in my mind.
Yes,
because
he's
Ed Asner is amazing.
And Elf is wonderfulness.
Yeah.
All right. My second one is Love Actually.
Oh, yeah.
And you could, and I like Love Actually for a different reason, or I think I appreciate it for a different reason.
Okay.
Because it is honestly just every cliche put together, but they did it on purpose. Like, that's the point of
it. Yeah.
It's like, oh, we've seen this before. It's like, you've seen it all before, and that's the point.
Yeah.
And it's fun, and it's full of love and heartbreak and all this kind of stuff, and it's wonderful and has music. But then at the heart of it, you have Alan Rickman and Emma Thompson,
yes!
which makes it like a super real movie.
Yeah.
But I just love that. It's like, is there a mad rush to the airport for love? Of course there is.
Yep.
Is there, you know, the guy from
Walking Dead?
Walking Dead.
Yeah, holding up cue cards.
Holding up the cue cards because he's in love with his best friend. Oh, yes, there is. There's every single cliche, hokey, hacky thing on purpose and well done. So
Yay.
Love Actually.
I love that. That's a good one. All right. My next one is an 80s classic. And again, a good half of my list here is, I would have to argue with people that they're Christmas movies.
Okay.
But, you know, my number two is Gremlins.
Oh.
Gremlins is just such a fun movie. They're so adorable and disgusting and awesome. And I can't wait to show my son. Yes.
You can't wait to show your son Gremlins?
Yeah.
I will say this.
Yeah.
Because everyone our age, like, loves Gremlins.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
Yeah.
I had never seen it. And then a group of my friends were doing a movie night over Zoom.
Okay.
And I was like, I've never seen Gremlins. They're like, what? And
wow.
A lot of people hadn't. There's a lot of younger people.
Okay.
And so we watched it, and it was like, this is awful.
Oh, no.
I mean, awful in, like, the hokiest, weirdest way.
Yeah.
So I could really understand why people loved it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, not having that nostalgia behind it.
Right.
It didn't, like, hold. I was really surprised at what it, because I know, of course, like, you know, the Gremlin.
Sure, sure.
That, what's his name?
A Gizmo.
A Gizmo, exactly.
Yeah.
And I was just like, immediately I'm like, this guy is not good at this, having this gremlin.
Yeah,
like,
seriously.
In 1 second, he's given him a bath,
right,
and taken a flash photograph and given him a turkey leg, right, at 12:01 a.m.
Right.
But so it's, I can appreciate it, but it's weird that I didn't see it until I was in my 40s.
That's amazing.
Yes.
Which begs the question, have you watched Gremlins 2?
No.
Oh my God. You need to watch Gremlins 2. It is bonkers ape shit.
Oh.
If you think Gremlins 1 is weird, Gremlins 2 quadruples it.
Okay.
They go to the rafters on this one.
Okay.
Wow.
It's crazy. On my list.
All right. Gremlins 2. Go for it. Your number.
My number 3, which, yes, is our number 6.
Yes.
Is
five.
Home Alone.
Oh, I love Home Alone.
Home Alone is really fun.
Yeah.
It is, you know, it's all the classic stuff.
And you know what? I feel like, say what you will about the traps and the funniness,
yes,
and all that stuff, there is something so Christmassy, something so heartwarming about the moral of the story being like, you should be with your family,
yeah,
and love the family that you have.
And then half of it, yeah, is the slapstick stuff. But then you also get the other, you know, story of Catherine O'Hara and,
yeah,
family trying to get back. And then it's a Trains, Planes, and Automobiles,
yeah,
kind of a vibe. And
exactly.
Even John
even
Candy's
with John Candy.
In there.
But that's the other thing. I love how sweet it is that, you know, of course, these are all characters in a movie.
Yes.
But there's something so sweet about a guy that was going to be traveling across the country in,
yeah,
a van, seeing a woman that's desperate to get back to her kid and being like, well, just hop in.
Yeah.
Join us.
And then the end when the mom gets home, Catherine O'Hara, and,
yeah,
she's like, Kevin, and he stopped. Like, that moment always gets me.
It's so touching.
Home Alone.
All right. Home Alone. Good one. Good one. Okay. My third, I'm going back far. We needed at least one classic on this list.
Yes.
And there is one classic that always gets me. You know, a lot of people love It's a Wonderful Life.
Yes.
A Wonderful Life is a good movie, but I would argue it's not really a Christmas movie.
Mm-hmm. It's more of a suicide threat
movie. It is more of a suicide threatening movie. My movie that I picked is Miracle on 34th Street.
Of course.
I love Miracle on 34th Street. I love Maureen O'Hara.
Mm-hmm.
She is so powerful. I loved her in all the movies she did. She was so great.
Is she Catherine O'Hara's mom?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. There's just something that's so pure and magical about this story about,
yeah,
a guy that honestly believes he's Santa. And everyone by the end of the movie believes him too. And it, that's not the point of the movie. The point of the movie is not to, for you as the audience member, to determine, is this really Santa Claus or not?
To determine if he's of sound mind or,
yeah,
not.
Yeah, exactly. We're just supposed to kind of just give up on that. And at certain point just go, oh, isn't it amazing how many people believe this man,
yeah,
and go with it. So,
and that has one of those moments that has been parodied,
oh my
so
God,
much, that scene where they bring in all the mail bags for Santa into the courtroom.
Yeah.
And that's, I've seen more of those than I've seen of the,
of
movie,
the movie
Miracle on 34th Street.
Sure. It's everywhere.
So if you watch that, you'll be like, oh, that's what that's from?
This is where it came from. And I don't think it's the judge. I think it's the judge's assistant.
Mm-hmm.
Fred Mertz,
oh,
from I Love Lucy.
Nice.
Just throwing that out there because I know it. Anyway.
Okay, my fourth one is Muppet Christmas Carol.
Oh, yeah.
The Muppets are the Muppets. We need say no more, especially if you've been listening.
I just showed Lex that for the first time. We watched it last week.
Oh, excellent.
It was amazing. He loved it.
Oh, it's so good. And it's, I don't know if this was the one where I was really impressed how they attributed the characters, how which character, which Muppets,
yeah,
played which characters within,
yeah,
a Christmas,
yeah,
Carol,
yeah,
and how fun it was, and how every new person playing a new person, new Muppet,
yeah,
it was like, oh my God, that's perfect.
Yeah.
You know, plus it's a Christmas Carol.
Well, and what a genius move to make Gonzo Charles Dickens.
Yes.
So that he's narrating the story with Rizzo. You get a little comedy there.
Yes.
But you also push along the story with Gonzo through the whole movie.
It's really
brilliant
great.
Choice. I love that.
Okay, yours?
All right, I'm next moving one? On. Next one. I am going to go with Scrooged.
Ah.
Bill Murray, classic. Is it 90s or 80s? I can't remember.
I think it might be late 80s.
Late 80s. Scrooge, it's, you know, again, talking about A Christmas Carol. It's pretty much the same story.
Exactly.
Just with less Muppets. And
there still are some.
There's still a couple of Muppets in there.
I don't think they're Muppets.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't think they're from the Henson Corporation.
Yeah. But that movie is just so amazing. And then the ghosts. All of the ghosts are so great.
Yes.
I love, what's his name? The taxi driver that was, isn't that the guy, Buster Poindexter? Wasn't that the hot guy?
Oh, it might be. I don't know off the top of my head.
I think it's Buster Poindexter.
Yeah.
But anyway, Scrooged is so good and it's a perfect Christmas movie. So if you're looking for one.
Absolutely. And just so y'all know, dear listeners, The Ref and Scrooge were the two that Clark and I both chose.
Oh yeah.
We had to get some other ones. So my last one is Bad Santa.
Oh yeah.
Bad Santa is so great. Dark.
Yeah.
Funny.
Yeah.
Sad. All of this stuff. And I just love it.
Yeah.
And it's that, you know, talk about an anti-hero.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, the perfect example of an anti-hero.
Yeah, absolutely. And will he be redeemed at the end? You don't know. But I think whenever we're talking about sandwiches, I go, what's with you and the fucking sandwiches? Which is, like, my favorite line.
Right?
And it has the same thing kind of as Elf with the character that's just optimistic no matter what.
Not
Bad Santa. It's another character in there. Anyway, watch it. Ugh. It's pretty raunchy. It is not the one to put on like
for
with
family.
The family.
Yeah, exactly.
It's rated R.
Or Ref. Let's throw that out too. Ref is not a big family movie. That's the you and your partner.
Exactly.
Or, you know, you and your friends.
Yes.
All right. I love that. Okay. My last full choice here. Is a controversial one, and I'm going to throw it in here because, you know, it literally is my favorite Christmas movie.
Okay.
And it's Die Hard.
Yes.
It is Die Hard. And yes, there are arguments of every sort out there trying
to
say.
Half of Twitter disagrees.
I know. But let's talk about Die Hard for just a second.
Okay.
The movie has at least 5 Christmas carols in it.
Okay.
Constantly playing Christmas carols through the whole movie.
All right.
The whole plot centers around a guy going to a Christmas party.
Correct.
An office Christmas party. And I don't know how many offices everyone out there has worked in, but there are not a lot of times during the year where the entire office stays in the office to party.
Yes.
And really the only thing that I can think of that always happens on is Christmas. So that is an essential part of why the movie is happening
is because there is
a Christmas party happening. And I'm going to throw this out there. There are jingle bells playing through the whole movie.
There's chick, 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 chick.
And the whole, it's like, all the movie, he pulls out the gun. Dun, 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 dun. He's, you know, doing everything. There's jingle bells playing through everything.
Okay.
And presents and trees. There are presents and trees in the movie. It's a Christmas movie.
Well, nobody disputes that it happens at Christmas.
Sure.
So I don't know what, it's just not, nobody learns a lesson. And no, I mean, he does learn a lesson.
Yeah. Yes.
So I will say that I fucking love Die Hard.
Oh my
just
God.
Because of the awesomeness and what a great goddamn movie it is.
Yeah.
And I have zero dog in the fight of whether it's Christmas or not.
Yeah.
So I accept yours.
Thank you.
I agree.
Thank you.
Die Hard's just an awesome movie anyway.
I'm sorry. Any movie with Alan Rickman
Alan Rickman figures twice.
Yeah. Come on. 2 Alan Rickman movies in one list.
Yes.
All right. So let's move on to our half.
Okay.
We've got our 10, but it's time for our half. And our half, I thought this was a really fun idea. Our half is a movie. But it's not really a movie. It's a TV show.
Uh-oh.
It's an episode of a TV show.
Which one?
It is an episode of Mystery Science Theater 3000.
MST3K?
Which means it's technically a movie.
It's a movie.
It's both.
Well, it is a movie, but it's not like we'd like to watch it on its own.
Right.
We
wouldn't
like
watch
it.
This movie separately. But
and it is.
Our movie that is our half is Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
Such a weird fucking trip.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
This is the weirdest fucking movie. I'm sure a majority of the people out there listening have no clue what this movie is. It was made in the 60s, I think. Maybe late 50s, but it's color. So
yeah.
It's all about Martians who realize that their kids no longer have joy. Their kids are bland, boring, emotionless lumps.
Yes.
And they don't know what to do with it. And they go to their wise old Martian elder and he's like, "You must get a Santa Claus." And then he goes, "Oh, the Santa will bring joy to our children."
Yeah. So if that doesn't sound scary enough for a Christmas movie.
Yeah. So then the Martians come and they kidnap Santa and bring him to Mars. Yeah.
It's just batshit bonkers.
It's nuts.
And we get the MST guys in there making all the jokes that need to be made to avoid nightmares.
Yeah. If you have, this is hard to find the Mystery Science Theater version, but there's also the guys from Mystery Science Theater did it again.
Oh.
They did a new show after Mystery Science Theater was done called Cinematic Titanic.
Yeah.
And in Cinematic Titanic, one of the movies that they did is they redid Santa Claus Conquers the Martian.
I want to see that.
It is so good.
It is. All MST3K is good. This one happens to be bonkers beyond belief.
Yes. That is perfect way to phrase it. All right. Those were our top 10 and a half holiday movies. I hope you guys had fun. Let's move on to our final question of the day.
Okay.
And I'm excited because our final question of the day is a phone call.
Oh.
And this phone call is from A. He just wants to be called A.
A.
Here
okay.
we go.
Hey, Lori Beth. Just wanted to say I love your show. I love listening to it, all that fun stuff. Let's just say my name is A. I live in Orlando, Florida. Just recently, just today, got broken up with from a guy. We were seeing each other for about a month. I guess my question would be, how do you get over somebody? Because, kind of the way our relationship started, it was before the holidays. He works at Disney, so, they're super busy, and we were both kind of people who met, serendipitously, I guess you'd say. But everything was wonderful. Everything was, great. And, I had a little bit of insecurities in the beginning because when he was super busy, just kind of my own previous experience with guys, treating me like kind of just like I'm not there, basically. They go from talking to you and doing all this stuff to like just non-existent. So I had previous experience, which I guess carried over. And, he reassured me that we were fine and everything, and that was great. And then, we were supposed to hang out again a couple times. And mind you, every time we've hung out, it's always been like weeks at a time due to his schedule. It was always something, and I've had gut feelings before. But anyway, long story long, I was talking to him yesterday and I just felt kind of shitty. And, I guess he lost his temper. I guess he lost his kind of like his cool. And, this morning just kind of it's like, I'm done. And kind of broke up I was somebody who was bombarding him every 10 seconds, but which I wasn't at all. There were just times where I would miss him. And so I would say that. And, we dropped the L word, everything. And I need to know how to just move forward because every time that I try to, be okay with it and reminded of something, I really do feel like I'm somebody who's not lovable because it's always been like similar situations like this. But I don't know, I'm just trying not to feel those feelings. It's really, I don't know, it's hard not to feel worthless. But I don't know if there's a question, explanation, whatever. Apologize. I'll talk to you bye.
Hey.
I'm sorry you are feeling so poorly.
Yeah, I
am sorry in advance that my advice or take on the situation will not be the big hug you might be expecting. Because there's a lot in there that jumped out at me.
Mm.
how do you get over someone? You were in love. There was, you know, weeks between when you could see each other. You were dating a month.
Yeah.
You were dating 1 month.
Yeah.
I'm going out on a limb. I'm going to say you were not in love. I'm going to say that there was not time for that. And I'm going to say that what I relate to most is sabotaging myself and having a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
That based on all of my past experiences, I am unlovable and I will not have anyone. And that will be true as long as I keep repeating the same patterns.
Yes.
I keep repeating the same patterns.
Yes.
In relationships.
Yes.
It is, you know, what I've done in the past and what I hopefully not, but probably will do in the future.
No, hopefully not.
Is go into something and desperately want it to be what I want it to be.
Right.
I want this to be what the last relationship wasn't. Right. I want it to be love and romance and all of this. And I'm pushing this scenario that hasn't even had time to begin to exist, to figure it out, you know?
Mm-hmm. Figure out.
The phrases all that and the phrases figured out come up all the time.
I know,
and it's always like, oh, wink. I'm not saying it because of that. But A, you are going into things, I mean, like I do, you know, I'm speaking to you so directly because I need to hear it myself.
Yeah, yeah.
It is, you know, easy to say, well, this didn't work out and I'm unlovable and I understand that feeling.
Yeah.
But I have to look at my own behavior and say, this keeps happening.
Right.
Why?
Right.
And an easy answer that doesn't take any work on my part is, I guess I'm just unlovable and I'll never have happiness.
Right.
But the truth is, I can look and say in past relationships, was I really honest with who the other person was, how long we had been together, what my expectations were, as opposed to what could reasonably be acceptable for a new relationship, just getting to know somebody.
Right.
You know, it takes time. And a month is not enough time to say we're in love. I mean, back if it was an arranged marriage, get to it.
Right.
But just to, you know, say that this was this, you know, how do I get over this relationship? That's not what you need to get over. There was no relationship.
Right.
You and I need to look at, perhaps in a group therapy session, what we're after and why. Because it sounds like you are sabotaging yourself and not starting realistically with, I'm meeting a new person. Let's see if we get along.
Right.
Let's see if we like the same, you know, dinner. Let's see, you know, what we do when there's nothing to do one day.
Yeah.
And that's difficult with people's work and this and that. And that's why a month is not enough time to be this deep into these feelings. These feelings have to do with your previous relationships, which might have been the same pattern.
Right.
They have to do with, you know, your growing up and your formative years and why you're seeking what you're seeking so vehemently that you want a month-long relationship to have been this magical thing and you were in love, and now that it's over, what am I gonna do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are we after doing that? Where is that coming from?
Right.
And figuring that out is what will be able to change the pattern. This was the time to get to know each other.
Yeah.
And to just see how things go.
Yeah.
And I know from, you know, it's the equivalent of, I mean, it's the same, but it's that, you know, hokey thing of on a first date, a girl's like, so what I want for my wedding is, and it's like, okay, well, I thought I might get laid and then see if I liked you tomorrow. but now you're crazy.
Yeah.
And you're definitely someone I don't want to see again.
Exactly.
So it's unfair.
Yeah.
To another, well, it's unfair to them. They can just say, okay, I'm stepping away from this.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But
yeah.
You are sabotaging yourself.
Yes.
By rushing past the first 7 months
yeah.
of what should be the beginnings of a relationship.
Right.
You wanted to go from zero to married
right.
in 2 dates.
Yeah.
And that's how you get into a shitty marriage that you regret.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how you get divorced. And so, again, I apologize for not wrapping a warm blanket around you, A, and saying, how dare he? You yeah. sound wonderful. And I'm not going to even take that. I don't feel lovable. It's yeah. like, no, that's the thing I say to avoid having to do any of the work on my yeah. own and look at it. So yeah. I will say to you, A, I always feel like I'm going to enumerate something, A. I would look into perhaps finding a counselor or a therapist
yeah.
to look at yourself and where you're at and yeah. what you're longing for and what you're pushing for.
And your expectations from a relationship.
Yeah. And figure yourself out, because if you and I just keep going in, pushing, trying to make something that's not there into what we want it to be, we end up alone, and then it's easy to go, well, nothing's ever going to work for me.
Right.
I've spent tons of time saying that. I spent tons of time with my therapist saying, yeah. like, just sick of nothing amounting to anything. And she's like, okay, we're here again. Let's look at what the fuck.
Yeah. You know,
she doesn't say what the fuck. But she's like, look, bitch, I'll cut you.
And then she kicks you.
Yeah. She hasn't been able to kick me since COVID. It's been the one good thing.
Cyber kicking.
Yeah. Can you imagine your there? It's like therapy slash Fight Club. Not helpful. This isn't about this guy or the relationship or being in love. It's
yeah.
not about any of that.
Yep.
It's about what's up with you and what you're looking for and why you're so desperate for it that you are going about it in this way that isn't going to work. But I will say, I'll say one nice thing.
Okay.
Well, no, because you are not unlovable.
No.
You are probably pretty good looking. If you've had all these relationships.
True.
You know, the beginnings of relationships.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, you live in Orlando, which I love.
Sure.
So these are really bad
yeah,
things.
No, hey,
no,
man.
But it's like, it you know, I don't want to leave you here going, you know, you really opened up and said
yeah,
all these
yeah,
things.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
kind of kicking some tough love at you.
Absolutely.
So just know that everything I say is with love and, one, unfortunately for me, 100% understanding.
Yeah.
A, good luck, baby.
I hope you figure out what you need to figure out. But that's it. That was the last question for today.
Okay.
We are done for this episode. I am very excited. This was a fun one. I'm glad that you're back home.
I am glad too.
Glad to be recording. If you guys out there listening, if you have a question or a decision that's weighing heavily on you, please send it to us and let LB ease your burden. Send us your problems at AskLoriBeth.com. Go follow us on all the socials at AskLoriBeth, or just leave a message with your voice at 1-855-336-2374. That's 1-855-DENBERG or 1-855-Denberg.
And you can find me at LB Denberg on Instagram, at Lori Beth Denberg on Twitter, and at the Lori Beth Denberg fan page on Facebook. No, I stumbled because somebody has started a campaign tweeting at Lauren Bouchard that I should be on Bob's Burgers.
Oh, you should be on Bob's Burgers.
Hashtag Lori Beth Denberger.
Oh my God. Yes.
So
hashtag.
My fans are awesome. So that's what was going through my head,
wow.
which is why I stumbled. But, and I have been doing these Christmas cameos videos
yeah.
for loved ones saying Merry Christmas, Happy Thanksgiving. I got a bunch. Like, if you want a personalized video from me to a loved one, you can book me for that at cameo.com/LoriBeth.
All right. We will talk to you guys next week.
Thank you, babes.
Happy holidays.
That Advice stars Lori Beth Denberg and Clark Crozier. The show is produced by me, Jeremy Balin, and part of the Seltzer Kings Network. Our theme song is written and performed by Natty Ward. If you or someone you love is in need of some bad advice, you can submit your own question on our socials, all of which are Ask Lori Beth, or on our website at AskLoriBeth.com. Or for a nostalgic twist, you can call 1-855-DENBERG. That's right, 1-855-336-2374, and leave your question there. Thanks for listening.
It's our Christmas episode.